incidents of police abuse go way, way down. And what's more, false allegations against the police go way, way down. So this is one of those win-wins in which the community feels that they're getting more accountability and more transparency out of their police department, and police officers are actually being protected against false claims. What's more is that once you put a camera on a situation, it has what's termed a civilizing effect on an interaction. The police act more civilly, and importantly, the members of the community act more civilly because they know that the encounter is being recorded. And there's one more benefit, which is, of course, that you just end up with much better evidence. Cities with these cameras have higher conviction rates for crimes, and crimes often will lead to more guilty pleas, which means less time spent in the courtroom and less time doing paperwork for police officers and more time on the street protecting and serving.
Another part of your plan is to require that city police officers reside in the city. Why is that a good idea?
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea for a few reasons. The first is the building of trust. So many of the interactions we see that go wrong are based on a lack of trust. Either the police officers don't trust that they'll be safe around some members of the community, and we've got folks in our community who don't trust the police department has their best interests in mind. And the best way to build trust is through familiarity. Having officers live inside the city that they serve will make them more familiar with the culture that they serve, but also they'll just meet more of their neighbors. The neighbors will know them. And when things go wrong, as will happen in a city of any size, when things go wrong, conversations about what can be done to fix it will be much easier because there'll be conversations among and between neighbors. I think what, too, we'll find is that the more connections we have within the community, the more cooperation we get in helping root out the criminal element. So, you know, one very important way that we can get, for example, drugs and drug dealers out of the city is with the help of confidential informants. But confidential informants really will only work with police officers that they know and that they trust. And it's hard to build that trust when you have folks who live one or two counties away, as is the case now.
People who don't live in Ithaca, perhaps when they think of Ithaca, they think of Cornell University, Ithaca College, a large student population in the city. If we think of college students getting occasionally rowdy, and that's, of course, a problem in any college town, but what other problems are there that the police have to deal with in Ithaca?
Well, you know, students do take up a large part of our attention, especially at this time of year in the fall or late in the spring when the weather gets nice and the kids are looking to celebrate the end of the school year. But we also have problems like any other city does. You know, we're grateful to be one of the safest cities in the country. The majority of our crimes are property crimes. We see very little violent crime, but the property crime that we do see is related to drugs. What a few years ago was prescription drug abuse has now shifted towards harder drugs like heroin. We've always had cocaine here in our city, and the fact that those are criminalized has driven the market underground, of course. That underground market is enforced through violence instead of, you know, typical markets being enforced by lawyers and governments. The way drug dealers protect their trade is through violence and intimidation. So we do have some of that, and we also, of course, whenever you have folks who are addicted to drugs, they'll do whatever it takes to feed their addiction, and we'll see some robberies and burglaries from that. So it's not as sleepy as it may appear from the outside. We're by no means crime-ridden, but we deal with a lot of the problems that you'd find in any city of 30,000.
There was an incident on August 9th involving an out-of-uniform police officer who ordered two unarmed African-American teenagers to the ground at gunpoint. Is this a plan that you've proposed a direct reaction to that, or has it been in the works before that?
This is a direct reaction not only to that, but to the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and to what has been long simmering tensions between the police department and the community here. You know, some of these ideas, so what I released is an 8-point plan for excellence in policing. Some of these points had already been in progress. Some were on its way. But really, the decision I made to sit down with local leaders of color, local religious leaders, with the leaders in the police department, to call around to other mayors to see what was working in their cities, what wasn't working, and to put a plan on paper, that was a direct reaction to what happened on August 9th and the protests and the concern that followed that event. You know, moments like this, they're unfortunate on all sides, and moments like this can be wasted. You know, we can allow all of our emotional energy and our outrage to pour out and get nothing productive on the other side, or we can create a plan. We can put our energy behind backing and implementing that plan, and we can see a future with a better police department and a better city because of it. And I think if we follow this plan, our police department will become a model for departments across the state.